أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين. We've been looking at the topic of تربية أولاد, the upbringing of children. And let me just recap a little. We've been looking at the age of 0 to 7, known as mastership, as taught to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And maybe I'd like to explain that a little before I go into what we're going to look at, which is communication. See, when Rasulullah said it's a period of mastership for the child, it means that the child tells us there is a need of the child. Now, the skill of a good parent is knowing how to gratify that need in a way which will allow that child to reach his or her full potential. Let me give you a classical example. The child says, "I'm bored." He or she doesn't know how to gratify that need. The child is actually ordering me to keep him or her occupied. Doesn't know how. Now, either I can choose to stick her in front of the box, which has been provided to us, the wonderful box with its cartoons and whatever goes on with it, or I can occupy her by giving her some of my time. And we shall go into those aspects one at a time. Also like to remind you on what we're trying to do. We're trying to build up the self-esteem of a child. And I'll recap that self-esteem is made of two components: basic worth and competence. Basic worth, which means it's okay, I'm happy to be me, not because you say so, but because I know so. And competence is I can meet my own needs and the needs of others. Well, on that basis, we looked at touch, we've looked at words, we've looked at love, and this is a manifestation of love which has a goal. So today I'd like to continue with that and look at something that is very, very important, which is communication. Now, communication is, in essence, is talking about talking and listening. And for a child to feel valued, there must be empathic listening and genuine dialogue. Now, let's first look at what empathic listening is and why we need it. Very often, we have parents who will come up and say, "How do I get my child to listen to me?" And really, what you need to ask yourself first is, how can I listen better to my child? Because a child only reflects the way I behave towards him or her. There are three types of listening that are wrong and that we all do and that we need to correct first. The first type of listening that very many of us engage into as parents is pretend listening. A child is blabbing away. You've picked your child up from school, from nursery or wherever your child goes, picked her up, and she in the car, she's going on about her day, and you go, "Ha, ha, ha." Later on, when the child's talking about something, you say, "I didn't know that," and she says, "But I told you." That is pretend listening, where you reiterate, you know, with every line you go, "Ha, ha, ha," but you're not even there. And fathers are so clever at this. They hide behind a newspaper and they just grunt. The second type of listening, which is not good, which again we do and therefore then develop children like that, is selective listening. It's a very highly sophisticated form of pretend listening. We sort of listen to a sentence, pick out one word from it and say, "Oh yeah, the history lesson," but we're not listening at all. And then another type of listening that we as parents do is autobiographical listening, where we listen through our wisdom and our experience. We tend to think of our goals and our needs and our advice. And we really listen for opportunities where we can put our two pennies worth in without taking the child's needs, the child's wants, the child's desires into what they're trying to say. So, for example, if a child who hates geography were to say that, "You know, my teacher, my geography teacher said I drew this diagram so well," would say, "See, I told you you were good at geography because I aspired her to do geography." And these are the sort of things we have to avoid. So the right kind of listening is called empathic listening, which really means to be able to comprehend and appreciate the whole content of the message. Now, if we do this, the child will reflect it back. You know, means listening with the aim to understand. It's a very, very powerful form of communication. It means that I listen to the whole person. You know, a lot of communication is nonverbal. You hear the tension in the voice, the posture, the voice itself. When you hear me on radio, if you pay a lot of attention, you will find that you will know sadness, you will know happiness. It should come through. Otherwise, it's like a computerized voice. And you need to feed your understanding back to the other person. So when we have to listen to our children, we've got to make sure that we are consciously putting aside our own agendas, we're putting aside everything else, and we're focusing totally on our child. It's extremely important. Now, there are four key benefits to empathic listening. The child will feel valued. That means he or she will feel that he is important and they deserve your attention, and it's a valid feeling. You know, there is also the second benefit is that the child is being understood. The third benefit of empathic listening is that the parent will discover how competent and capable a child is. We also discover through their talking that they have problem-solving capabilities, and all they need is a listening ear to help them through it. And finally, the greatest benefit is that when you start empathic listening, children listen to you in the same way too. You know, let me take a classical example of 6 or 7 year olds. Let's look at them. Say you hear a commotion upstairs in the bedroom, and as a mom, you run up and you say, "What's going on?" And I'll take the names of my children. Say one of them said, "Well, Suhaila's always picking on me. I just wish she wasn't my sister." "And you always take Jabir's side. Why do you always take his side?" I can either escalate that. I can either get defensive and start shouting back. Or I can hear the whole complaint. I can hear it all out. And I say, "You're really upset, aren't you?" A, I have listened to the whole body saying, "I'm really upset." And then I can say, "Why don't you come downstairs and let's talk about this?" But you're not telling him off. "Well, let's talk about it first. Let's drink a glass of water and recite a salawat and calm down and then go about what we have to do. And then now you tell me what's happening and how you think this should be solved. Do you think it's a great idea to ask Suhaila to leave and not be your sister?" That sort of dialogue, that sort of listening, reflective listening, giving back to the child, giving her the onus of being able to come up with some sort of a solution, talking through very calmly, will reflect back. If you communicate respect through listening, through empathic listening, the child will communicate that respect back. The child will think that I too am important. I too am somebody who is heard, who is important to be heard. Now, inshallah, tomorrow we will look at genuine dialogue. Now, remember the words. I didn't say monologue. It's dialogue. You know, it's to understand, not coercion. And I have to keep asserting that. When we talk to children, it's not a monologue. It's got to be dialogue. And it always starts, as everything that we've learned in Islam does, with an intention. And inshallah, we'll look at that tomorrow.